11. A friendly interrogation.
Hurts.
The raspy voice echoed in the near dark. Modo couldn't tell where it was coming from.
Hurts. It.
His throat was parched and his head throbbed. Shadows passed in front of him, but his eyes felt too sore to keep open. He shut them tight.
Mon. Mare. It hurts. Mrs. Finchley. Help. I hurt.
So, it had been his own voice. He tried to touch his lips, but couldn't move his hands. You are in much torment, a woman said flatly. She had an odd accent. Do you want your mother? Modo opened his eyes in anger, only to be blinded by a bright light.
I have no mother.
That is rather sad. Her face came into focus. It was perfect and pale, like the Greek goddesses in the paintings Mrs. Finchley had shown him. The woman had determined blue eyes and tightly braided red hair. She straightened up and stepped back a few feet. You gave yourself a severe blow. At once, Modo remembered fleeing Fur and striking the door. He couldn't recall anything after that. He tried again to lift his arms, then realized his wrists and ankles were manacled to the thick wooden chair upon which he was slumped. Count your lucky stars that you're still amongst the living, the woman said, studying him. With a start, he wondered if his transformation had lasted. He'd never been knocked out while in this state. Blood pounded in his ears. He tried to touch his face, but only rattled the manacles. He searched the woman's expression for any hint of disgust or revulsion. Finding none, he concluded that he had maintained his form. "You are too curious, young man," she said. "Curiosity can lead to fatality." She chuckled, as though she'd been terribly clever. He could now make out the gaslight, magnified by tin reflectors, directed at his face. He couldn't see anyone else in the room.
Where am I?
He asked. I will ask questions. You will answer. I am Miss Hackendottir. Now you know my name. Tell me yours.
It's Mr. Peterkin. Robert Peterkin. What do you want with me?
There was a flash of metal. Then pain raked his right cheek. He screamed and strained against the manacles.
I ask questions, you answer. It is a simple arrangement. Do you understand?
Modo nodded, blood dripping down his face. Red stains spattered across his white sleeves.
Now, Mr. Peterkin, under other circumstances I would be patient, perhaps even hospitable, but there is no time. You have infiltrated our organization, so I need to know who employs you.
He couldn't tell them about Miss Featherstone. Chances were that she knew little, if anything, about the true nature of this society, and he was certain they would do her harm. Modo ran his sandpaper tongue around the inside of his mouth. His forehead was sweating.
An uncle, he said. Of one of your members. Of...
He struggled to remember the names on the list. Mr. Socrates had made him work hard on his memorization skills, but he was failing nonetheless.
Sax Romberg, he said. Sax Coburg, the woman corrected.
She tilted her head inquisitively, a flattering angle that made her more beautiful. Except for her eyes. They were reptilian. She rarely blinked, which Modo found most disconcerting.
But you originally inquired about Mr. Featherstone. Are you lying to me?
Modo shook his head quickly, twitching in anticipation of another blow.
No. I was simply trying to throw you off the track of my employer, that was all. How did you know Mr. Featherstone was a member of our society? Mr. Sax Coburg is a friend of his, or so I assumed.
Her eyes burned into his.
So the Royals hired you? Yes, an uncle, Renald. He's overprotective by his own admission. Renald. The name isn't familiar to me, and I know all of them.
He lives in Bonn.
She tapped her temple with her finger. Modo shook his head and looked again. Could it be? Her hand was made of metal, each digit cut in such a way that her fingers curled and moved in the same manner as flesh and bone. She looked at her finger. With a schlicht, a razor-sharp nail suddenly appeared. It looked long enough to cut his throat.
You are not telling the truth.
She stepped closer, and Modo tried to edge away, straining so hard to break the manacles that he felt a vein pop out on his forehead. The claw marks on his cheek burned. Her metal hand gently brushed his cheek, spider-like. The tips of her fingernails were cold. Fine piano wires extended from her wrist up into the flesh of her arm.
It is unwise to lie to me, she said softly.
She pointed her index finger at his left eye. Modo pressed himself against the back of the chair.
I must know why you are interested in Saxe Coburg. Who sent you?
I don't know, he whimpered. I only accept investigations through the post. I never meet my clients in person.
Her finger was less than an inch away, and he couldn't tell if the nail was still extended. Now she pressed her finger against his eyeball. Modo let out an anguished grunt.
Stop! Don't! No!
He spat the words. Would his eye break open? He thought of an egg leaking yolk.
Please, please, I'll tell you anything.
How do you communicate with these clients of yours?
As I said, by letter.
When do you next expect them to contact you?
With each word, she increased the pressure on his eye.
Ah, tomorrow, tomorrow, a letter will be waiting for me.
Where?
The Red Horn, room, the three.
He was surprised how well he could lie, even with pain clouding his mind.
Please, don't! My eye! My eye!
It is a beautiful eye, she said. It would be a shame to have to blind it.
She withdrew her finger. Modo pulled in a breath like a bellows, filling his lungs as though he hadn't breathed in weeks. His vision blurred. He couldn't stop the tears. He wanted to weep, to lash out at his tormentor.
What have you learned? She asked.
He blinked and blinked until he could see more clearly. That I should go back to my country cottage and give up detective work. She laughed.
Humor. Even at such a dire time. How courageous.
What I meant was, what have you learned about us?
Only that you are a scientific organization. That's all. I was just beginning my investigation. My employer asked me to follow and take notes about the group's activities.
He blinked away a few more tears, then closed his left eye. The woman looked concerned and, curiously, a little frightened.
Are you unwell? She asked.
He wanted to shout, Of course, you witch! You nearly poked my eye out! Instead, he said,
I don't understand. You have blotches on your skin, and your face seems to be swelling.
Modo felt his bones beginning to shift slowly, his muscles starting to sag. He couldn't control them any longer. It had always worked this way. After a few hours, his muscles refused to hold their shape. This time, the torment and exhaustion had sped up the process. He coughed up phlegm. Seeing her alarmed reaction, he did it again, only louder. Then, for effect, he gagged on his saliva, letting his tongue loll out.
You are ill,
she said, taking a step back. She pulled a handkerchief from her vest pocket and wiped off her hand.
What have you got?
It's nothing, Modo whispered. Just a cough. I've been under the weather for the past few days. It's not consumption, if that's what you're thinking.
Her once serene face looked very uncomfortable. Modo spat out a mouthful of slime and she jumped back. He nearly grinned. He had an advantage now. That was how Mr. Socrates had trained him. Find your opponent's weakness and exploit it. Modo coughed again. Hakandottir backed up all the way to the door and knocked on it with her metal hand. The door opened, and in walked Fur, his joints hissing. The foxhound padded behind him. Intelligence and anger glared from its eyes, and its skull reflected light. Modo blinked 3 times before he could see clearly that it had been moulded from metal. Fur's cold eyes cut across Modo, then settled on Hakandottir.
He's alive.
Yes, so far. His knowledge of our operation appears limited.
I could interrogate him if you like.
Modo's stomach churned. Hakandottir shook her head.
No, he is a small cog. His interest in Featherstone, and especially Saxe Coburg, is distressing. Peterkin may not know much, but I suspect his masters do. We must move faster. Is the transportation complete?
Yes. The subjects have had the laudanum and have been moved to the lower station.
Then we are finished here. They will soon receive their final dose.
Fur's arm hissed as he pointed at Modo.
What about him?
Hakandottir shrugged.
He is of no value now, and neither is this house.
With a flick of her metal hand, she knocked the oil lamp off the desk. Fire exploded across the floor. Fur, the hound, and Hakandottir walked through the door and closed it without a backward glance. Modo was dumbfounded as tongues of flame danced around him, the polished hardwood the perfect kindling. He struggled and kicked, trying to break free of the wooden chair. Tharpa hadn't taught him what to do in this situation.